Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
That Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is saying, whatever the Son does, He does exactly what the Father is doing. Now, if you remember, Psalm that we have in the Tanakh, the many Psalms, you might say, the prophetic messages that we get through the Psalms that God had given to Israel. In the second Psalm, this very interesting verse, and I just want to read to you this verse, 7, 8, and 9, we read, I will declare a decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In other words, God is saying to His Son, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Now we can learn from this verse that the Lord Jesus is God the Son, but now He became in incarnation. He became now the Son of God also in His humanity. When we read in other passages, in Acts chapter 13, we read in connection with His resurrection, He became God the Son in His humanity. He became this man that is also not only in His incarnation, but also in a resurrection. He is called the Son. So He is God the Son in His divine nature. He is the Son in His incarnation. He is the Son in His resurrection. And God said, kiss the Son, verse 12 of Psalm 2, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. You see, again, back to John chapter 5. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also does the Son likewise. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is indeed the Son of God who became the Son of Man. You know, in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 30, we read these very, very interesting words concerning the Son, who is the eternal Son of God, who is the creator of the universe, but also became a man. We read in verse 4, who has ascended up to heaven and descended? Of course, it is God. Who has gathered the wind in His fists? The answer, it is God. Who has bound the waters in a garment? And the answer again, beloved friend, it is truly God. And then it said, who has established all the ends of the earth? And of course, the answer is God. And then the one who questioned Agur, the son of Yakeh, he continued and he says in verse 4 at the end, what is His name? Well, we know that the name of God is Jehovah. Is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, this sacred name of the Lord. And then he continued, and he said, and what is His Son's name? If you can tell, can you tell? And we know very well, and you shall call His name Yeshua, Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. So here's the Son. Here's the Son that does exactly what the Father does because He is co-equal with the Father. And of course, that same God, the Son, became a man. And now as a man, sinless man, He is submissive to God the Father. In verse 20 of John chapter 5, we read, "The Father loveth the Son." And I'm reading again verse 20. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." In other words, what is the greater works that he will be shown, greater works than these? Well, you remember in chapter 5, he healed the man on that Shabbat day. The man was for 38 years, had an infirmity, he could not walk. And Yeshua, God the Son, as man, told him, "Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk." John 5 and verse 8. And he walked immediately. Who can do that? Unless God is the one that allowed this to happen. Well, here is God the Son, as man, in the person of Jesus Yeshua HaMashiach, and he healed this man, which was for 38 years in infirmity. And you know, beloved friend, in the whole history of Israel, how God had performed miracles, miracle after miracle, in order to take the people of Israel out of bondage, the 10 plagues that were placed upon Egypt, the opening of the Red Sea, and the meeting the need of our people, of all the people of Israel in the wilderness, providing the man from heaven, providing the need for them, water out of the rock. All these are miracles. And then the Jordan River, when Israel entered into the promised land, God have opened the Jordan River, stopped the Jordan River in one place and allowed the rest of the water come down, and Israel went dry shod to the other side into the promised land. Miracles that God had provided for his own people Israel. And it was not miracles in order, it's not games, it's a serious miracle that God provided for his people to meet their needs. And here he provided a miracle for a man who was sick for 38 years. But the Lord Yeshua is saying to the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Father loved the Son, and he showed him all things that he himself is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. In other words, he's saying to the spiritual leaders, you watch and see how much more the Lord will show you all through me as I'm here in this world. This is wonderful. And this expression, the Father loveth the Son, remind us of Abraham and Yitzhak, represented there as God the Father and God the Son in Genesis chapter 22, when God said to Abraham, our father, take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and offering him upon the mount of Moriah for a sacrifice. And you remember how Abraham obeyed God, and he took Isaac, Yitzchak, his son, to that mountain of Moriah. And this is a wonderful picture of God the Father and God the Son. And indeed, here we see the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, was sent by the Father to this world in order to become a sacrifice for mankind. So the Father loved the Son. We already read about it in verse 35 of chapter 3. The Father loves the Son and has given all things unto his hand. Here once again, for the Father loves the Son and showeth him all things that himself he does. In verse 21, we continue in our chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua said, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. In other words, the same God who is raising the dead is one that his Son, the Messiah Jesus, is the one that does the very same thing. As the Father raises up the dead, so the Son raises them up, quickeneth whom he will. In other words, he has the power of resurrection. As we're going to get later on into chapter 11, we'll notice that he's going to say to Eliezer, to Lazarus, Lazarus, Eliezer, come forth. And he that was dead came forth out of the grave. So the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the one that is able to raise the dead. But beloved friend, listen to this, not only to raise the dead from the body, from the grave, but he's able to give spiritual resurrection. Because you and I by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead in trespasses and sins by nature. And it is only God the Son in the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah who will provide himself as a ransom for many that will be the one that will be the source of our spiritual resurrection. Any one of us that became a believer and received forgiveness of sin, it is only because we believed on the one that died for our sins. And this is Yeshua the Messiah. So he will raise whomsoever he will. Whomsoever he will. And how wonderful that he opened our hearts, and may he open many, many more hearts, and will raise the hearts, the ones that are dead in trespasses and sins, they will be raised spiritually, that they will trust in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach. We continue in the statement of the Lord here as he is answering to the spiritual leaders, and he continues and he says in verse 22, and 23, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now listen to this, my dear friend. If one claimed that he believed in God, and he believe in the Creator, and yet he or she reject the one that came to be the Mashiach, the Messiah. If one claim that he or she honor God and honor not the Son, this is what Yeshua is saying in these verses, these two verses, that the Father judged no man, he committed all judgment unto the Son, and the one that does not honor God the Father, in reality he does not honor God the Son. And therefore, how can one claim that he honored God and yet at the same time deny the God the Son who came to pay for the sin of this world? And you know why it is so important to honor Yeshua the Messiah, who is the Emmanuel, the God with us? Because it says in verse 22 that all judgment was given unto him. He will be the judge. He will judge all men. He will sit in the judgment seat of the Messiah, the judgment seat of Christ, as we have it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to judge even all the believers. But even further, he will sit at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, and he will judge all those who rejected him and will send them into the lake of fire. In fact, he will be the judge, according to Matthew chapter 25, who will judge at the judgment of the nation. He will judge the whole world that remain at the end of the tribulation period, the sheep and the goats, and the sheep will enter into the Messianic kingdom, and the goat will be cast into the lake of fire. Beloved friend, this is so serious. Because the very same Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, who came once to be the Lamb, he will also be one day the Lion that will judge this world in righteousness. We read in Revelation chapter 5, when John received that revelation, we read, it says, he was looking for the one that will be able to restore the world to himself. And then when there was no one to open this book and its seven seals, John wept much. And then the angel says unto me, John is saying in Revelation 5:5, so weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, he says, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. John was looking for a lion and he saw a lamb. Why? Because when Yeshua came at his first coming, he became the Lamb of God that will take upon himself the sin of this world, as we read it in John 1, verse 29. But when he's going to come at his second coming, beloved friend, he is going to be the judge. He's going to judge all men. He's going to judge, as it says here in John chapter 5 and verse 22, "For the Father judged no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." In other words, if we have a fear of God, we ought to have the fear of this God the Son, because he is the one before whom we're going to have to stand one day. And you can see, beloved friend, that this is exactly what both the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, what is known as the Old Testament, and the Brit HaChadashah, the New Testament, the New Covenant, both of them teaching us the fact that the Son will ultimately become the judge. That's why in Psalm 2, as I've already read, in Psalm 2 and verse 12, the psalmist of Israel namely says, that we know that he is David from the New Testament, he was receiving revelation from the Lord who said, "Kiss the Son." Nashku bar, kiss the Son. Why? "Lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him," in God the Son, in the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus himself. And now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 24 to verse 27, as we continue in our study here, you can see how the Lord is really claiming and declaring that he is divine and that he is equal with God the Father. Definitely, the Jewish leaders understood that by virtue of the fact that they said in verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Shabbat, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." And you see, if somebody claimed to be God, according to the Hebrew Scripture, and if he's not, he should be killed. You remember Antiochus Epiphanes, who claimed to be God and desecrated the temple in the city of Jerusalem? And you remember that he claimed to be God and how the Jewish people were forced to worship him? It will be the same in the future day when the Antichrist comes. He will also claim to be God, and he will seek mankind to worship him. That's why they wanted to stone the Lord, Yeshua, because he made himself equal with the Father. And of course, he was equal with the Father. He should have never be stoned. He should have been received and believed upon, because he came in accordance with the word of God. But you see, there will one rise one day who will come in the future day, who will also claim to be God, and he is that one that is called the Son of Perdition. We read of him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, "Let no man deceive you," verse 3, "by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that men of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Listen to this, verse 4, "who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the counterfeit Mashiach, who will rise up in the tribulation period, and in the middle of the tribulation, he will set himself in the temple in Jerusalem once again, as Antiochus Epiphanes have done so years before Yeshua, the Messiah, was born. Here we have one that sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the false Messiah. But how wonderful, here we have the true Mashiach, Israel's promised Messiah, who finally came to this world to provide redemption to all humanity and heal the blindness of the human hearts. And isn't it true, we were all blind, and unless God have opened our eyes, we would be just like anyone else. And you and I are challenged to be soft, to have a softened heart, and to accept the word of God, and to see through the word of God if truly Yeshua is indeed God the Son and the promised Messiah. So notice that verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, Yeshua is now declaring and professing and claiming that he has authority to raise even the dead, not only physically, but also spiritually. Notice that. Verse 24, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So you notice in verse 24, Yeshua pointed the importance of hearing and believing on him and his word. A believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, has immediately everlasting life, and he will not come to condemnation. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," notice, "hath everlasting life." Not only will have, but immediately he will have everlasting life. This is so wonderful. Notice he continues in verse 25 of John 5, "Verily, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, these are people who are spiritually dead. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall live." Now, again, my dear friend, I mentioned this earlier, but it is so important to understand that all of us were born dead spiritually. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians in the second chapter, in verse 1, he said, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Notice what it says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye were without the Messiah," without Christ, "being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in their world." This is the condition of the Gentile nation, but this is the condition of all of us, Jew and Gentile alike. We are dead in trespasses and sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, my dear friend. And that's why the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, in verse 24 and 25, he's speaking about the spiritual resurrection. The spiritual resurrection. Anyone who become a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, he will receive immediately everlasting life. And immediately, he will not come into condemnation. Immediately, he is passed from death unto life. How wonderful it is. Have you heard his voice? Have you read the scripture? Have you accepted the Mashiach, the Messiah? Have you turned your heart to Him, my dear friend? Did you realize that you are dead in trespasses and sins? This is exactly what Yeshua is seeking to explain to the disciples, but to teach the spiritual leaders of Israel right here and now, in this point of time, when they were understanding that He claimed to be equal with the Father, that He claimed to be divine. Sadly, many did not accept Him. But how wonderful for those who did, like the early apostles, like Simon, like Hannah, and all these early followers of Yeshua the Messiah that have accepted Him and followed after Him in the land of Israel, and those early disciples who gave us the message of the gospel today, that the world will be blessed in accepting the word of God and following Yeshua the Messiah. What a wonderful message of the gospel that we receive, because those that have believed on Him. And that's why it is very interesting where the Lord said that, "Verily, verily, I sent you, the hour is coming, and now is," because already now, then and there, 2,000 years ago, there were those who did believe in Him in Israel, who have accepted Him as the Mashiach. How wonderful. Now notice in verse 26, beloved friend, in verse 26 we read, secondly, it's not only that the believer will immediately receive everlasting life, but we find out in verse 26 that the Son gives life as the Father doeth, because in Him was life. Look at this, verse 26.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.